This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Hello, Emmys. Not that I expect any of you to be awake at nearly 1 o'clock a.m. Eastern time. Notice Dana could not make it tonight. So this will be my, unless I'm mistaken, this will be my third Showa in a row. Or is that the third show in a row? Oy vey. He said holy war, racial holy war. We can't have that. So thank you, all of you, for listening later, because no one is here right now. And there's something in me, I don't know what it is, to want to take on everything. Take on more responsibility than is necessary, to carry more of a burden. There's just something in me. I've pretty much always been that way. So this is going to be the third
Junk Drawer with an Observer
episodes. It'll be completely random. As you're listening to it, you'll understand, and you'll wonder why. you'll know why. You'll know absolutely why it's called Junk Drawer, because it's not going to be anything that makes sense. It's going to be completely random, stream of consciousness sort of ramble. So let's begin our journey here, huh? I have work tomorrow. Well, I have work today, but I will do this show for about an hour, then I'll hang it up, because even I can't do a 2-hour show this late. I can't. There are limits. I don't know how he did it. Did the impossible. Kyle and a couple very wise individuals in the chat, including Cygard, have convinced me to take a second look at astrology. Initially, when looking at astrology, and when I speak of looking at astrology, I'm speaking of as someone from the outside looking in, someone who had not studied it. I just, when I was younger, I'd heard about it, and I had already known that, oh, that's a bunch of nonsense. That doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. What difference can it make one day or one month to someone when they're born? It's the immaterial. Their genetics dictate their personality, their temperament, the way they interact with each other, with other individuals, how they get along with other individuals, and or not get along with certain individuals. I know you've met individuals in your life who you can't possibly, everything about them is annoying and offensive to you. Also, the opposite is often the case, where for some reason or another, unexplained between you, I, or even the stars, there are some individuals that you just naturally get along with. You finish each other's sentences. You're on the same wavelength, it seems. You view the world in much the same way they do. There's very little you have to explain to them. They already get it to the way you think. They feel similar to the way you feel. And they live lives also in a similar manner to the way you live your own. How is this possible? I would often say in the past, in such instances, that, well, with all the people in the world, you're bound to meet one or two or five individuals who are totally alike you. They're totally similar. And, of course, you're going to meet those who are absolutely opposite of you. One person is industrious and faithful and views sacrifice as a noble, good thing. And you have other individuals who are slackers. They are wishy-washy. And they don't believe in sacrifice. They believe only in serving themselves. I confess my bias toward my right hemisphere of my brain has, in a way, blocked me off of a lot of the good within our world. A lot of the possibilities, things I had not even considered. So, in the attempt to reassess my observations, to look at things with a different angle, different set of lenses, perhaps, you might say, I'm looking at astrology with an open mind, one might say, but not so open that my brain would fall out of my skull. I believe that the overwhelming amount of these horoscopes, the overwhelming amount of these ones that are in the paper, the paper, the horoscopes in the paper, oy vey. I believe most of these are made up garbage. They have no basis in anything. However, I do believe, at least simplistically, there may be something to the signs. And I'm not referring to the signs themselves having some sort of magical power. I'm referring to some defiable, at least for now, that science has not quantified, that makes certain people born during certain parts of the year, during certain seasons, that there's an imprinting, I believe, that occurs. I believe as a general rule, those who are born in colder months tend to be more introverted, more withdrawn. Because as they emerge from the warmth and the safety and the comfort of their mother's womb, as they pass through the birth canal into the world, they're shocked at the frigidity of the world around them. Now, I'm not speaking if one is born in a cold hospital, a warm hospital, for example. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to once they're taken out of the hospital, once they're exposed to the world as it is, once the baby is able to hear the world around them and to hear the birds in trees and the wind whistling by, they are imprinted by the temperature. So what does one do when they're cold? If they're sane, they curl up. They are defensive. They are quiet. They are reserved. They do not want to talk or to gab about the day's events. They want to stay warm. They want to take care of their concern. They want to make sure they can continue. Gross generalizations aside, let's go to spring or summer. You have these parts of the year where things are warmer. There are more birds in the trees. There is more rain in the case of spring, generally speaking. Everything is blooming and growing, and life is all around you. The sun is warm, and it hits your face for the first time as a newborn, and it energizes you, and you feel invigorated. You feel ready to express the pleasure that nature has bestowed upon you as a newborn, I imagine. So you are, I imagine, more vocal. You have no reason to curl up into a little ball and preserve the little body heat that you have. There is no reason other than sustenance and nurturing to curl up with your mother. So I would assume, based upon this, that one born during these times of the year would be more extroverted, given more toward extroversion than someone born, in the colder areas, colder eras, colder seasons. Now, it very well all may be a bunch of nonsense. And I allow for that. However, I have, before knowing the birthdays of a few individuals in my family, I have looked. I have assigned random signs to them, and they don't fit. They don't fit. And then I have assigned them the signs after I have known. And what I'm referring to is I knew their birth dates. I knew the birth dates of my family members, but I didn't know their signs. So what I would do is I would pick a random sign, a Pisces or an Aries or a Taurus or whatnot, and I would just read it and imagine that family member in that role, and it's just like, no. And then I would apply their birth, because I don't know when the signs and birth dates co-line until I look it up. I don't have it memorized. I don't know it. All I know is my own. And then I looked, and wouldn't you know, it wasn't the random ones that they were most like. It was the ones they actually were. So there is something. There is, I don't know what it is. So some state, it may have to do with magnetism somehow, and our bodies being conductors. And they are. There is electricity running through the human body. And the planet, Earth, has a magnetic. It's not enough to totally confirm it. It's not enough to totally convince me. But it's a start. It's leading down to the path of something. So I'm not about to start doing the horoscopes and all that mumbo jumbo. I think most of it is nonsense. However, I do believe there may have been, and there may still be, some little inkling of truth to astrology, at least on the surface of it. So there we go with that. That is one of the few things that has been on my mind lately. Another has been a reassessing of what is important in my life. As I prepare for my move, my migration home, I've been pruning the tree of my life more and more. And I've come to the conclusion that most things in my life I don't really need. I really, really, really know I want and I need a tractor because I want to live off the land. I'm not referring to a $300,000 gigantic monstrosity for a massive farm of 1,000 acres or no. I'm talking about an old, small, more of a hobbyist tractor. Something I can plow my small acreage with, maybe 1 to 5 acres of land, and grow my own food for my family as well as the families who live near us. My vision is a vision of, and this is what keeps me going, one of the many things, but it is a dream of mine to live on land. And when I hear others living this dream, what I consider to be a dream, it motivates me more to want it more. It's like seeing someone eating steak, and you are hungry for steak. And they're describing what the steak tastes like. All the while, the scent of the steak wafts its way over from their plate to you and your nostrils. And your brain registers it and associates that smell, that tantalization, with the descriptions they are giving you at the same time. There was a nice woman in the chat earlier who described taking her daughter to a pumpkin patch and picking up a pumpkin. Something like that. I forgot. I remember reading it in passing and how she's had 5 children already. That is absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. That is my dream. She described as well living off the land and having enough to support her family and not buying garbage from the grocery store, the big box stores, the processed food, the non-organic food, the Frankenstein food it's been called for good reason. I want that. I want that. I want to live off of my land. I want to work my land. I want to grow numerous crops. I want to raise a small amount of livestock as well. I want to have a nice little house and just subsist. Maybe have a side job that I drive to in the city. It takes me 30 minutes to an hour to drive to work every day. So be it. so long as I and my family, my wife and children, are far, far, far away from the multicultural nightmare, and they are removed entirely from its influence, I will say it was worth it. I can get in my truck, and I can drive to the city, earn a little bit of money, come back. Perhaps my wife and I, we can go to the city together, start up a farmer's market. We can start up a farmer's market and sell that which we have already grown, which will serve as a source of income. We can barter. Someone else has something we want, we can trade them. We can trade them 3 pounds of carrots, for example, for perhaps a few swaths of leather. And we can, my wife, if she's a seamstress, she can make clothing from that, or shoes, or doing more with less, I find intellectually stimulating, because it requires each instrument in one's life to perform multiple functions. It involves the elimination of waste, and I find that admirable. And for those that would like to chat on the phone, I apologize, I had forgotten. It is area code 347-633-9657. Yes, no remorse, I am live right now. I'm filling in for Dana. Apparently he did not have a show tonight. After I eat this blueberry muffin, I'm going to call in. Oi, oi, oi. Very good. I love blueberry muffins. My favorite type of muffin, blueberries. They're fantastic. Absolutely fantastic stuff. Now you have me wanting blueberry muffins. Darn you. So at any rate, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want to get away from the Babylonian lifestyle. I want to have a forest that surrounds my land. I want to have 4 or 5 Siberian huskies and maybe 2 or 3 house cats, or maybe a barn cat or two that eat the rodents who are foolish enough to attempt to steal our produce, our overage. I have this vision, and hanging clothes from our clothesline outside to dry instead of using a dryer, a conventional dryer. Putting solar panels on the roof of our home while at the same time having a cast iron fire-fueled stove that the lady cooks on. I like this. And then there are visions of the winter that I have, taking our children out in the truck and doing donuts in the snow. I have visions of that. I have visions of our Siberian huskies chasing our children through the snow. There's so much. There's so much that I am grateful for already. And I'll be even more grateful when I have my dream. When I can get away from the multiculturalism forever. When I and my lady can raise our children properly. Homeschooled, away from this system. When I watched the Renegade Roadshow, I saw how the families across America were living. And they were doing without so much. Tation on that phrase, doing without so much. And we assign a sense of pity as if they're doing without necessity. They're not. They're not making do. They're not doing without necessarily. They're living how we're supposed to live. I'm of the opinion man, the white man and woman, are not supposed to be consumerist slaves. We're not supposed to be perpetually in debt. Borrowing time, as they call it. We're not supposed to work until we die to raise strong, happy families. We're supposed to impart them with the wisdom of our elders. We're supposed to stand for something. We're not supposed to live only for ourselves. And that is anathema to what society is trying to brainwash us with. Stand for it. I won't. I don't subscribe to that view of life any longer. And I won't go back. I will never own a television ever again. I won't. I will not eat out of cans anymore. I never will. Now that I know what they line them with, I buy organic as much as possible. I avoid kosher food as much as possible. I try to eat my vegetables raw. Every week I have at least one or two steaks. At least one or two. Every week. Can't wait till I can detox entirely out of this system. And I know I will be better off for it. I will be the better for it. Because this is not how we are supposed to live. Some things should not be changed. Some things need to continue as they are. And one of those things is our traditions, our love for our people, our loyalty to our folk, cultural norms. Why change these things? Why change our genetics? Because those that hate us desire our destruction. And to throw away our genetics, to throw away our culture, to throw away our pride, is an act of destruction. And to not speak out about it is to acquiesce. It is to surrender. It is to submit. It is to agree on a de facto basis that what is being inflicted upon us, will you agree with that? And I will never agree. Never. The way I live my life, the way I will raise my children and grandchildren, the way I will earn my living, everything. Everything is connected to this struggle for me. And I think it's important for a man and a woman, of course, but I think it's important to keep one's word. There is a sense of trust involved. And if one does not keep their word, if one just gives their word, and they attach no value to it, and they break their word, well then, what value is that individual in the clan, in the society? You can't count on them. You can't depend on them. You see, we need to be able to depend upon one another. Wives need to be able to depend upon their husbands, and their husbands on their wives, and the children need to be able to depend on their parents and their grandparents. Siblings need to be able to depend upon one another. Aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews, that they all need to be able to depend upon one another as they interact. And what we have now is broken families, broken homes, and wonder why we're unhappy. We wonder why depression is up, why self-medicating is up, addictions are up. We wonder why there's the feminization of the males, the masculinization of the females. We wonder why our society has been turned upside down, why up is down and down is up, and white is black and black is white, and what's wrong is right and right is wrong. And we wonder why everything is so confused and garbled. Well, it's because we thought we knew better. We thought those from the electronic Jew television knew better than us. They knew better than our ancestors who had come thousands of years before. And there are certain things we must never change. We must never let go of certain things in our race, our culture, our love for ourselves and each other. We must never let go of these. We must never lose sight of these. We must never never equalize or have an equivalency between ourselves and the outsiders, between ourselves and those who want to burrow their way into our societies, into our villages, our towns, our cities, our societies. I can tell you, I know, for certain instances, I do not know how I would react, but in the following scenario, I know precisely how I would react. If one of my daughters ever, or as I should say, if one of my daughters ever tried to marry outside of their race, I'd kill her. Not literally, of course, but that won't happen because she will be taught properly by her mother. She will be taught properly by her father. Her siblings will also act to remind her of the importance of loyalty toward her race, her family. But if such a situation did arise, it would go very poorly for her and her would-be pet. So that is the role of the father. That is the role of the mother to step in and put their foot down. Children get out of line. We've lost that a bit too, I believe. We've lost the guts to tell our children no. Sometimes they need to hear it, even if they don't feel like it. That must be a big damn muffin you got there, Nick. No remorse is eating a muffin the size of a pumpkin. Okay, there he is. He's on hold 2 minutes. No remorse, you're on the air.
Oh my God, you racist. You
yes,
evil Nazi.
I am. Yes, I am. I'm Ashkenazi, actually. Thanks very much. Yes, I am. I love my Talmud. Oy vey.
The evil Nazi and your Nazi show wanting to gas my 6 million.
Precisely. Uh-huh. They got to be de-loused somehow. Oy vey.
Yeah, I was enjoying your show there. I know you've only been going a few minutes there, but so mm-hmm. you were talking about it. You were saying it was like your visions, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Nice.
My motivation.
Yeah, although I would say if you had huskies, I hope you live somewhere cold, at least. Cause...
Yes, it will be.
So,
I had a husky before. I know precisely how they are. They're a great breed. They're very, they have a personality of their own. I love all dogs, except for pit bulls, but
yeah.
I love all dogs. I love them.
Yeah, I've never owned a husky, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I know they can be. They're pretty big, and they got that thick fur, man. They're made for the Arctic for sure. But
correct.
You know, something I wanted to mention is that. Excuse me. I don't know if you watch. I'm sure many of us have watched it already. I know it's kind of a little off topic, but have you watched this? The Alana from Red Ice, the Saint George and the White Whore. Did you watch that?
Yes. I didn't watch it. I was playing the video and listening to it while I was typing up some stuff, some propaganda materials. But yes, yeah, she slayed that mestizo piece of crap, George Lopez.
Oh yeah, not just him, but the whole like Jew immigration bullshit. That video is
mm-hmm.
one of the most scathing nuclear destructions that I've ever heard
yeah.
of the Jew in there. their immigration bullshit. Like that video, I'm going to prematurely or preemptively say that video is a freaking masterpiece, man. Like I have been meaning to. I just watched it today, and I'm going to save the audio from it. And see if, you know, send it around to anybody I know. But God, that video is so good, man. I even looked at the time on it. It was like an hour and 20 minutes, and I was like, shit, oh man, do I want to really sit through this? But then I started listening to it, and I was like, damn, man, like she just broke this piece of shit down and just so utterly destroyed that guy and all of his BS. You know, who has a TV show of themselves named Saint George, you know, where he does nothing but dates white women and has a white ex-wife and a half-white kid, and the freaking Mexican mom is just like, oh.
White whore. That's the main thing I remember hearing, and I kept thinking to myself, well, why, if she's a white whore, why are you living in a white country? Which she also mentioned, of course. If she's a white whore, why are you dating or having white women? Why are you chasing after them? If it's a white whore, why are you living in their country? Why are you playing? Why are you living in the white lands? It just doesn't make any sense. You see, it's self-hatred, I think. I've come to the conclusion the non-whites despise us this much for various reasons, but I think one of the reasons they will never admit is they want to be us. They believe association is the same thing as being. It is not. You can put lead next to gold in 1,000 years. It will still be separate. There will still be lead and gold.
Yeah, I thought it was ridiculous. I liked when she was going through all of his stand-up crap, too. I don't know if you saw that part, too, where he's doing all this. And, yeah, as I was watching it, too, because with this George Lopez guy, what's actually kind of funny about him is I actually remember this guy from when I was a teenager in the 90s. He's actually been around for a long time, but he wasn't as popular back then, and they used to play him on Comedy Central. And I even back then, I remember him as being, like, this freaking, you know, beaner supremacist. But I mean, even though I didn't really, like, I wasn't aware of all these kind of things, but I was still just like, you know, screw that guy. But he wasn't even funny. But when you're watching that stand-up, when she's, like, analyzing it and just totally deconstructing it, you're watching the stand-up and you're like, wait, you're like, is this stand-up? Or is this like a political speech, man? Like, I mean, the whole thing, it's just, it wasn't even funny. It was just like him basically talking about how Mexicans are taking over the whole place. They're in control. They're going to dominate us, you know, completely. Mm. And then that end part, too, she was like, oh, yeah, one of his favorite jokes, and she was quoting him, was that he said, oh, this is like an actual quote from him, is that it's one of his famous jokes. He says, oh, in 50 years or something like that, we'll be looking back and telling our grandchildren, yeah, there used to be white people here, and the kids will say, oh, white people, who are they? And then we'll tell them, yeah, they're just like that guy mowing our lawn, like we're gonna be their future slaves or something, you know? Like he's just got this raging boner for the day that he gets to enslave the white man. I mean, I don't know. I just yeah.
Shit. What do you expect? And the only thing Mestizos are supreme at is making tacos and jumping borders and having anchor babies. That's all they do. That's all they can contribute. Even their beloved music, that circus music they play, if you've ever had to listen to that mariachi crap, it's basically a circus music. It's bastardized German polka music that sounds way better in the original language, let me tell you. And they sing it with their stupid bastardized Spanish, which is a bastardized version of Spanish, and they sing it, and they have a bastardized version of German polka, and they mix it up in this stew of circus music. It sounds just like circus music. All the instruments they play with, those are not theirs. Those are European instruments. The way the music is written, that's European. But they managed to mess it up somehow. They're given the blueprints, and they still can't assemble decent music. So
I was going to say, it's interesting you mentioned the music, because I actually am taking Deutsch right now, and I'm getting a little bit better at it. I'm, you know, still practicing. I know some sentences and stuff here and there, but I actually, because of what they've done to polka, I have a hard time listening to even authentic, genuine German polka, even though I'm not saying it's bad or anything. I'm just saying, like, I listen to German polka. Yeah, it's like you can't even listen to it because you hear it and you're like, the first thing that clicks in your mind is like, you're like, oh, this is what that Mexican down the street blasts in his Ford, in his, you know, 96 Ford Explorer with 30-inch rims driving up and down the street. Boom, 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 boom.
I put it out of my mind because that's the only way.
No, it's disgusting, man, because, like, I think I could enjoy polka. But what they've done to it, you're just like, oh, man. Although when you hear, like, German women singing it, then you're like, okay, it's good now. You know, but it's still like, oh, what they've done to it is just fucking horrible, and I hate it.
I agree.
Yeah. It's
absolutely,
just, yeah.
James. But what can you do?
Yeah, that's bullshit, man. Hopefully we'll be able to reclaim our frickin' music. Even though in that same video, I know back to that video, I believe there was a part and I almost fell out of my damn chair where she was like, what have Mexicans brought to the world? And they have this, like, porta-potty rocket, and it, like, crashes in the ground. And then she's like, what else have they given us? And she just shows this, like, it's almost like a, I don't want to say a factory, it's like the back of a kitchen, and it's like a conveyor belt rolling tacos off the conveyor belt. I was laughing so fucking hard, dude. It
true.
Was so silly. Yeah, it was.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah.
I'm not really that concerned about George Lopez. He's going to say what he's going to say, but at the end of the day, his vision is to turn all of this into Mexico. And it's just, even if he wins, it's going to be all of Mexico. And there's a reason he left Mexico. He was leaving because it was full of Mexicans. And he's happy to be in California. I assume he's in California. That's where all the Jew media is, and that's where his show, I'm sure, is produced. He's happy to live in California when there is a tax base to support him and all of his little wetbacks and whatnot. But once that tax base is gone, and he's got to be one footing the bill, he won't be so happy. He'll want to go where the whites are. He's going to want to chase where the whites are. That's what they always do. They always try to be with us because they want to be us. They want to be around us, yet they hate us at the same time.
Yeah, well, you know what I was going to say is even in that stand-up he was doing, he was like, oh, yeah, he goes, I live in a mostly white neighborhood. And it was like, oh, okay. But then not only that, but then you watch his show and all he does is date nothing but white women in the show. And they're not just white, too. They're like Nordic-looking, like white, blonde and redheads. And that's all he dates in the show and has sex with. And it's like, well, wait a second. Once your people take over America, hey, where's all the white women that you're going to fuck? You know, like, what's going to happen to that? You know, your whole, your harem of white, blonde-haired and red-haired women. What's going to happen to that, George? Or should I say Jorge?
He hates his brown, his shit brown skin. He hates his brown eyes. He hates his nappy, dark brown, black hair. He hates the fact he's squat and he blends in. He doesn't stand out. He doesn't have anything that makes him stand out. He doesn't have even hazel eyes. He doesn't have blue eyes or green eyes. There's nothing special about him. He's a monochromatic mestizo. Special about George Lopez. And he resents that. He claims he loves it. He resents it. He wants to be white. He never will be white. But I guarantee you, I read a little while ago about this surgical procedure on the eyes that is under experimentation right now, where people with brown eyes can have their eyes worked on to where they can be made blue or green or some other color. It still looks, you know, horrible, but it's in the basic planning stages, and they're testing it. I can guarantee you all of these non-whites who hate whites so much, once they're given the opportunity to genetically change their eye color, to genetically change their hair color, to genetically change their skin color. It's called gene therapy. Once they are given this opportunity, I guarantee you all of them are going to want to look like a freaking Waffen SS recruiting poster. They're going to want to be square-jawed, Aryan, tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, pale-skinned, Nordic gods. They're going to want to look like Thor. They're all of them because they hate themselves. They hate themselves. It's obvious from the way they act. It's obvious from the way they chase our people from the every corner of the world. They chase us to live with us. They chase us to mate with us, as disgusting as that sounds. They want to be us, yet they hate us because they can never be us. They can never be the original article. They can only be a copy.
Yeah. Well,
forgery.
I was going to say... another thing too is that, you know, Whitey's got nowhere to run, man. I mean, you know, we've hit the West Coast. We've hit the entire other side of the world. You know, there's nowhere else to go. You can't keep going west, right? You know, I love how they always call it the West, right? There's no more west. You know, there's nowhere else you can go. All you got is the Pacific Ocean, man. You're done. You know, you keep going west, you're just gonna hit Asia.
I think you're missing it. I think you're missing it, friend. It's not about running. It's about building a mass and then making a stand.
I agree with that. I'm just saying, like,
there's
nowhere
to run.
That's
true.
Yeah, because if you look at America, you know, like, you've got, if what's funny is, like, you look at the Northwest, it's still, like, mostly white, but then the non-whites are just going to follow us here, man, but this time, though, is what I'm saying is, like, we've got nowhere to go. Like, we can either, I would say our only chance would be to, like, if we wanted to flee, not that I'm suggesting that, but we'd have to go to, like, the Arctic in Canada, you know, like, that'd be our only option, you know, either that or, like, try to reclaim areas or you know.
I guarantee you, the non-whites would follow us even to the tip, the northernmost tip of Greenland, for example. They would follow us everywhere. Wherever there are whites, they will follow, especially for our beautiful blonde-haired, blue-eyed women. They will go to the ends of the earth to enjoy their presence, to enjoy the pleasures of knowing them. Which they don't deserve either. They don't deserve to even have the memory of them in their minds. They don't deserve to even look upon our women. But they will attempt, they will endeavor to follow us to the ends of the earth no matter what. What I advocate is building a mass and being able to hold a position. Because if you are white and you're in Babylon, for example, if shit hit the fan tomorrow, I being in Babylon, Babylon's maybe 30% white, and half of them are Antifa, practically. They're all Marxist assholes. The other half are decent, hardworking, you know, white folks that happen to be Christian or whatnot, that may stand with someone like me if the shit hit the fan. But at the end, we would more than likely be finished. We would not have any ability to resist the overwhelming teams of hordes of the multicultural masses. But the great thing is, if our backs are against the wall and we're a large enough mass, we can hold a position, we can defend. But if we are spread about in these tiny, tiny, tiny little pockets of 200 or 300 people, just a rough number, I'm guessing, or maybe heaven for help you, you know, 1 or 2 or 5 people in one town full of multiculturalism, you're screwed. You're utterly screwed. The only chance of survival is to be where the whites are, and to try to wake them up and to have as many beautiful, strong, healthy, and intelligent, happy white children as possible. That is why I advocate having as many as possible, as many as possible. You can't afford it? Shut the fuck up. You need to make a way to afford it. There is no excuse. No fucking excuse. You have to go on the fucking government dole. Go on the fucking government dole. When was the last time a white child starved in this fucking country unless they were being abused by their parents? Hardly ever. Come on, give me a break. There's no excuse.
Yeah.
Do without your iPhone, do without your Xbox, and have another child. Do it.
Yeah. Even that is BS, man. You don't even have to give up that stuff, man. I personally know plenty of whites that have kids, man, and they're pretty poor, man. I mean, you know, they're not living out of a freaking dumpster, but, you know, this idea that, you know, because what's sad about it is that it's like, you know, a lot of whites, they want to make sure that the kid has a good life, which is actually pretty honorable, you know, and they don't want to just bring a kid in. They
it's
can't
honorable,
afford
but
to
it's wrong. They're establishing the wrong values early on, which is playing into the hands of the Jew and commercialism.
Yeah, see, in an all-white society, it actually wouldn't be that bad. You know what I mean? But see,
I agree.
We're in this situation. We've got to do, like, you know, what do you call it? Like force multiplication. You know, like we've got to improve our numbers, and the only way is to by just have everyone having as many kids.
Finished.
Yeah, and you could still have your freaking Xbox and all this other crap. I mean, not that you should have it, but I mean, you can have all that stuff and still have kids. You don't have to give all that up. The government will literally pay you to have children, man. I mean, I think the child tax,
they will.
Isn't it something like almost $2,000 now? I had a friend who's got kids.
Her
who was
child,
me,
up to five children. There is no excuse. No excuse. No excuse.
Yeah,
none.
That pays, you know, school supplies. You can get EBT if you don't make enough money. They'll easily give
Correct.
You EBT if you got kids.
You can homeschool. There goes your commute money. You don't have to commute. You can have one vehicle and you can share it. You can carpool. I mean, there are so many things you can do. You can grow your food at home. Oh, you live in the city. First of all, you shouldn't be living in the city if you're white at all. Get the fuck out. I don't care. You can go to the city to work. That makes sense. That's where the money centers are. I can understand that. But if you have to live in the city, you can grow tomatoes, you can grow garlic, you can grow all sorts of things on your balcony. If you have an apartment, you can grow them on your window ledge. If you don't have a balcony, you have no excuse not to do something to be somewhat self-sufficient. You can go to the farmers markets to buy your food. You can associate with people. You can barter with them for things that you have that they want, and vice versa. You have to make it work. But we need to get away from this commercialism crap, because it's a freaking drag. It's killing us. It's killing us. That's another thing. It's killing us. Contraception. I can't say it enough. Contraception should be verboten in our movement. Absolutely verboten. There should be no excuse to use contraception under any circumstances. If you're using contraception, that means you're not ready to have a child and you shouldn't be having sex. But if you're having sex, you should be ready to have a child. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, it does, yeah. Yeah, although I guess it can come down to whether the woman, you know, because women can get it too. And, you know, I guess it gets kind of difficult whether, you know, they're wanting to take that or not. But, yeah, I'm against it too.
Should both be on the same page. Otherwise, you shouldn't be in a relationship. People should not be in relationships unless they're on the same page. They should be ready to have a child like that, because that's how it used to happen. That's how it used to happen. You would get married and, bam, that would be it. There's none of this long, drawn-out adolescence crap that we have to put up with. We have to put up with that now. We didn't have that in the past. You were forced to become a man. You were forced to become a woman. The bridge between boy and man and girl and woman was so, so, so brief that you had to cross. And now we make it last a decade, two decades, three decades. In some cases, people are children their whole lives. And they go, I don't want to have a kid. Oh, I can't have a kid. I'm too selfish. Well, that's a personal problem, man. You need to freaking find out why you're so selfish.
Well,
freaking
the worst
solve
part about
that problem
that.
And have kids.
Well, yeah, the worst part about that, though, is to see if you don't have kids, what the hell are you going to do when you get old? I mean, unless you make millions of dollars by the time you're old.
They don't think
you're
that far ahead.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm saying, like, I'm 31 and I'm like shit, man. Like, I have to have kids soon. Like, if I don't, man, like, unless I make a bunch of money by the time I'm old, you know, I might end up in one of these care places or you know, these homes where where you know you're an old white man getting two shiboons punching you in the face.
Non-white. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that recent video. I mean, you saw that, right? Just from a couple days ago. Yeah, the two black women just hitting him in the face and shit. I mean, can you even believe that, man?
Yes, I can.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, luckily I live in the Northwest, because I mean, I've said it before. Like, if this area goes, man, like I'm going. I don't know. I might go to Europe. I think I will. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what
I
to
want
do
to
if
go
this...
to Europe. I want to go to Europe eventually. I want to. I definitely want to go to Europe.
They
the final
can't
plan.
Pull the... They can't pull that card. That's the beauty of Europe. That's why I think they've been able to hold it down for so long. And they've, I mean, of course, there's 700 million people or something like that in Europe. But still, even the places where they have immigration problems, they're still like 70-80% white, man. Even that's where the problems are. It's like America's fucked, man. But like in Europe, you know, because they can't pull that card. Oh, Europe's a nation of immigrants. It's like, no, it's not. This is like our indigenous homeland. So kiss my fucking ass. Ass, you know.
Yes, that's my attitude as well.
Yeah. Oh, just, you know, it's kind of screwed up, man. I wish this wasn't happening, but I guess there's just, you know, it's just the way it is, man. You got
to
do something.
I want
about
you
it.
To remember something, brother. I want you to remember something. I say this often, but it has to be said again. So long as there is one white man and one white woman alive, there is hope. There is hope.
Yeah.
We need
I agree.
To stop being so hopeless. We are not a race of defeated cowards. We need to stop acting like niggers. We're not. We need to act like white men and women. We're not Jews. We're European men and women. We're children of Rome, children of Europe. That is our mother. We need to gain and draw inspiration from our ancestors. And then they will show us the way. But for now, the thing we must do most is have children, as many as possible. And I think that's how I'm going to end it tonight. Do you have any final thoughts, sir?
No, I just want to say I totally agree, man, and thanks for taking my call.
Cheers. You have a good one, brother.
You too.
Bye-bye. So that's going to do it. I don't want any complaints whatsoever because I had no preparation for this program tonight. Well, this morning, rather. Just to have it say tonight when it's dark outside. But thank you all for listening, all 10 of you. Or five or however few. I hope I have done a decent job for you all. And yeah, I think that's going to do it. So let me see. What am I going to sign off with? I think let's take it off on a light note. Bach is always good. Hold on one moment. It always takes so long. Okay. Always remember the 14 words. Cheers. Bye-bye.